For the past 3 weeks, we've been reviewing the closing doctrines of the Apostles' Creed, in case you don't remember. And we talked about I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints. Do you remember what the word ghost means literally? Do you remember what the word Catholic means in the creed? And what about communion of saints? If you've forgotten any of that, or if you weren't here, please review it online so that we're on the same page every time we proclaim our faith. And today we come to the final two doctrines of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Now, before we continue with this, I have a disclaimer. Of all the doctrines in the Apostles' Creed that are clothed with divine mysteries, these two are probably at the top of the list. There are so many questions about what these mean and what God's trying to say to us through these doctrines that we can probably be asking those questions until the final trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ absolutely returns for his glory. For instance, here's a question. Who went to heaven before Jesus came? And if they did not go to heaven before Jesus came, where did they go? Somebody sitting in this very room asked me that question a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know the answer. I searched in the Bible, and you know what? There are implications in the Bible as to what the answer is, but not direct answers. So don't expect me or anybody else to be able to answer completely a question like that. Remember, it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Okay, now with that said, let's start with the resurrection of the body, and let's make one thing clear. We are not talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That has already been listed in the creed. We are talking about your resurrection. You are going to be resurrected from the dead. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? There was a floral shop in Atlanta, Georgia, that posted a sign on the front door that said, "If you do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, you should be here 5 minutes before closing time." In other words, this is a doctrine that should really get our adrenaline functioning and pumping. You and I are going to experience some type of resurrection of our bodies after we die, and it's going to be thrilling. Even many, many non-Christians believe that. In fact, history teaches us that the ancient Egyptians taught that doctrine. The Zoroastrians taught that doctrine, and the Jewish Pharisees accepted that doctrine, and Islam celebrates that doctrine, and there are many, many others. Somehow God instilled in the minds and the hearts of non-Christians a faith in him as their creator and a belief in a resurrection after death. As Christians now, our doctrines come from the Holy Bible. So I want to review what some of those things are from the Bible and see if it sheds light for me and for you. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Long time before Jesus was revealed, the book of Job. I'm reading in chapter 19. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Wow. Capital R. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, Yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Glory to God. That is one of the most exciting passages in all of the Old Testament. And I just love the way Job said, how my heart yearns within me. Can you identify with that? If not, you need to pinch yourself and make sure you're still alive. If you believe in the Bible, then you believe what Job said. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. That is a huge promise from God. Hallelujah. But it's also a very huge mystery, isn't it? It's just filled with so many questions that we simply cannot answer. Life is full of those kinds of questions, in case you didn't already know that. If not, when you grow up, you'll discover that is true. Now, as a newborn baby, did you understand what adult life would be? Of course not. You had no idea. And even if you could understand it, could you verbalize it? Ask a person who has been blind from birth to describe colors. They can't. Look at an egg. It kind of looks like a dead rock. But inside the egg can be an eagle that soars above the other birds. It's amazing. Ask a caterpillar to describe a butterfly. It's beyond them to do that until they fully experience it. That's the point. We're going to experience this. Then we'll understand it. We will, in our resurrected bodies. In the New Testament, we read about the resurrection of Jesus, but within that narrative, there is an amazing part of the story that many people skip over. Listen to Matthew 27, verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Did you remember that was there? And they came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city of Jerusalem. And they appeared to many people. That is not a script out of Hollywood. That is out of God's word. It is an historical event that was witnessed, eyewitnessed by many, many people and documented for us. The bodies of many holy people were raised to life that morning, not just Jesus. Tons of questions. Who were those holy people? I don't know. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. How many came out of the tombs that day? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that either. It just says many. What happened to them later? We don't know. And what did they look like? We don't know. But here's something interesting. The Jews did not embalm their bodies. They washed them. They wrapped them. They buried them. Yet, when those people emerged from those tombs that day, they were no longer skeletons. Somehow, they looked like our bodies look. They could breathe. They could speak. They could be heard. They could be seen. That is one of the greatest wonders and mysteries of this whole discussion. And somehow it says to us that God can miraculously restore a skeleton into something that we perceive as our human body. That's amazing. God's amazing. Let me insert here a very controversial subject, one that you can take or leave. It's up to you. The Bible neither condones nor condemns cremation. I think we've talked about this before. However, it's partly because of that story about the skeletons coming into life and looking like our bodies that many Christians do not believe in cremation. In fact, burning the body at death in the Bible is usually associated with eternal punishment. I wish it were more clear than that, but it's not. Can God cause the ashes of a cremated person to transform into what we call a body? Of course he can. He can do whatever he wants to. Are you going to go to hell if you're cremated? I don't think so. The Bible certainly does not say so. It's left as more of a question for you to answer in your heart. Now, in case you're wondering, I personally do not believe in cremation of Christians, but it is not a matter of salvation. Whew, aren't we glad for that? Amen. Now, let's go back to the resurrection of the dead. The best description that we have of a resurrected body is that of Jesus Christ himself. What do we learn from that? He could be seen. He could talk. He could be heard. He could be touched. And that really suggests some amount of normality. But then he could also transport his body into other places and mysteriously appear there, like on the road to Emmaus, or even behind the locked doors of the upper room. You got that, locked doors of the upper room. It's a mystery. And we're told that Mary did not even recognize him. And neither did the men on the road to Emmaus. Does that mean that our resurrected bodies will look different? Perhaps. Or was it because Jesus was so disfigured by the beating and the crucifixion that they didn't recognize it? Perhaps. Or is it a matter of the senses of the beholder that God is working somehow? Perhaps. I should have called this sermon, "We Don't Know." That would have been a good title. But God gives us another peek into this mystery through the Apostle Paul, who wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Thank you, Paul. I'm so glad you put that in there, because it really is a mystery. It's a big mystery. And if Paul doesn't know the answers, who else does? Listen, I tell you a mystery, he said. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. From perishable to imperishable, from dishonor to honor, from weakness into power, from physical into spiritual, changed. When? At the end of times, when Jesus Christ returns. I don't understand that, and nobody else understands that other than God. He understands it. But I'm still good with that. You see, we are not supposed to have all knowledge. I mean, we are created under the angels. And they don't even have all knowledge. This is 1 Peter 1:12. Even angels long to look into these things. What we do have is a wonderful gift from God called faith. Faith. And faith is what you were proclaiming that you embrace when you say the Apostles' Creed. I believe on faith. It's not unlike trusting the ability of your doctor to find a cure for what ails you. It's not unlike trusting your lawyer to plead for you. It's not unlike putting your money in the bank and trusting the banker to keep your money safe. It's faith. When you say, I believe, Lord, you are dying to self and placing your very life into His hands. The next time we say the Apostles' Creed, remember that statement. It starts, I believe. You're placing your very life in His hands. Okay. If Jesus Christ tarries, we are going to die. And our bodies are either going to decay in a burial place somewhere, or they're going to be reduced to ashes in a furnace somewhere. But when Jesus Christ comes again, there's going to be a cosmic resurrection of dead bodies, and you will be there. You will be there. So will your loved ones who have gone before you. Anyone else going to be there? Yeah. Alexander the Great, Mother Teresa, Hitler, George Washington, Elvis, you name it. Lots of people are going to be there. And what's going to happen next? The final judgment. And what's going to happen after that? Life everlasting. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. I believe with all my heart in the promise of life everlasting with God, and I'm sure you do too. But I also believe in the alternative. Everlasting life apart from the presence of God. Hell. Who will spend eternity with God? All those whom He chose from the beginning. And following Bethlehem, all those who put their faith in His divine Son, Jesus Christ. Let me say something that is Christianity 101. Now that God's plan has been revealed through Jesus Christ, there is no other way that you can spend eternity with God unless you surrender your life to His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And we all know that there are some people who just cannot bring themselves to do that. Did you know that there have been several of them who sat right here among you in some of our worship services in the past? Sometimes I was aware of it, sometimes I was not aware of it. Probably most of us were not aware of it. So, let me not be amiss. Let me say this one more time. Come to Him. Come to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope for salvation. He is the door to eternal life. If you have not come to Jesus Christ, it is never too late. And if you want to talk about that with me, just let me know. I would be thrilled to talk about that with you in more depth. You have never known the fullness of love until you know Jesus. Let's get back to life everlasting. What's it going to be like? Well, let's take a stab at it. We will be with God, and we will be with the heavenly hosts forever. It's going to be beyond the word wonderful, because we just don't have a word to describe it. And this is interesting. We will never be bored. We will never again experience pain. Is there anybody in here who has experienced pain? Never again. We will never again cry. Has anyone in here ever cried? Experienced grief? Never again. And you know what? We're all going to be like Jesus, whatever that means. That's just pulling back the curtain just a little bit to get just a little glimpse of this wonderful promise of life everlasting. Perhaps a good question to ask now is, so what? Here's what, and I'll start with John 11, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Christianity 101. That answer from the lips of Jesus means that we are resurrection people. Woohoo! Not just in the past, not just in the future, but now. Right now, every minute of every day, every second that God gives you to live on this side of heaven, you are a resurrection person. We are people of the resurrection who know where we're going when we die. Amen. Martin Luther said, our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. I love that visual. It's beyond me. It is beyond me to understand how anyone who calls himself or herself a Christian and who professes to believe in the articles of faith of the Apostles' Creed can be a sourpuss. Have you ever been in a church full of sourpusses? You look around at their faces and they look like they're all at funerals. I've been there. I've seen it from the pulpit. I know what that looks like. I don't get it. I'm hard pressed to understand it. I want to live the resurrection life now, don't you? We are blessed that we are not people who worship a leader in a tomb. We worship the King, whose tomb is empty, and whose Spirit lives within us. Do you remember what that sign said in Atlanta on the floral shop door about 5 minutes before closing time? Well, in terms of eternity, I think we are 5 minutes or even less before closing time. It's high time we came alive in the flesh and live in victory and not in defeat. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just not only believe, but we rejoice. We rejoice with you, Lord, in these divine promises. And help us, Lord, to live in victory. And may the people that we meet and, and to whom we speak, may they see and hear you and your glory in our faces and our eyes and our voice and our deeds. To the glory of Jesus Christ.